Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. Oh, my goodness. I am so glad to be at this point of the day. I always feel like such a blessing, such a blessed event once I've gotten past all the challenges that the day brings. And I can tell you, just so that you know, in case you didn't already know, challenges don't just hit on Wednesdays. I just think I pay more attention to them on Wednesdays because I'm probably hungry, just other factors that make it more interesting and more challenging. But I usually feel it on Wednesdays more than ever. I want to share with you, number one, welcome to the classroom. This is the part of a wonderful approach where we are learning, we're sharing, we're building, we're supporting each other. We are allowing ourselves to be vulnerable. We are allowing ourselves to be the teacher. Also, sometimes it's not comfortable to be the teacher, but we're going to allow ourselves to be the teacher and the student. You know, so we're here to share knowledge and to gain information. And so this is what we're doing here in the classroom. We do this every Wednesday. Last Wednesday, we were speaking about the power of kindness, and that really stuck with me. And they all do. They all have this little, I don't want to say pinch, but they all have this little thing where I'm like, wow, yeah, I feel that. You know, I'm with that. You're talking to me. And one thing I liked about the program, because it spoke about the power of kindness. Sometimes when we think about kindness, we think about weakness. We think about shortcomings. It's looked at as if it's a negative thing. And I'm like, how can something so wonderful be negative? So it was a wonderful opportunity to speak about how someone's kindness has made a big deal to you, or how the sacrifice you've made in helping someone else along the road helped them. It was an absolutely wonderful program. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's fun speaking about the wonderful ways in which God gives us to learn and to share and to be with each other and to help each other. And so it was a great program. If you want to check it out, you can always go to A Wonderful Approach, the Facebook page. You can go to A Wonderful Approach, the website, you know, and the programs are uploaded there to give you opportunity to really just scroll through them and to check them out so you can be building with yourself. So this particular week, we are going and we are speaking about the black sheep. I thought this was very interesting. The black sheep, oh, it gets such a horrible rap. And so I'm like, really, Spirit, you want to talk about the black, you want to talk about the places and spaces where people are usually not supported? You want to talk to the people that always are feeling kind of like the outcast? You want to talk to them? Okay, let's do it. So we have to talk about the black sheep. And the reason, there's a reason why. There's always a reason why. One of the things that I need you to think about is, why do we consider it a negative thing, you know? And the way that the black sheep got this negative stereotype is a lot of times anything black, anything the color black, is looked at as dangerous or mysterious or against the norm or even soiled or dirty or anything else like that. So the color black itself gets a bad rap. And then sheep are considered supposed to be the the easiest animals to work with, to train. You know, they talk about the sheep following orders and, you know, going along with the herd and everything else like that. But no matter where you read it or see it, the black sheep doesn't go along with the herd. And so when it comes to trying to get people to conform, you know, the black sheep is never going to conform. When I was looking at, you know, I always love to look at the pictures, like what picture am I going to use? And the picture I used is a black sheep and a white sheep, and they're kind of like bumping heads. And but all the other pictures showed like a herd of white sheep and one little black sheep in the middle of it. And I'm like, ugh, you know. Part of that is, you know, the black sheep is made to feel alone. It's made to feel by itself unimportant, outcast, doesn't belong. And so when we're talking about the black sheep of our family or the black sheep of our groups and things like that, I really want us to become, you know, as we work through this whole precision of language, I want us to think about and be aware that that usually has a negative connotation, a negative stereotype. And so let's be aware of that. This is a spiritual program, a spiritual organization, and we use spiritual tools and understandings to get through this life. In this life, you can feel like a black sheep. In your religious and spiritual understandings, when you're by yourself, you can begin to feel like a black sheep. You can feel alone. You know, for those people that are converting, they're just becoming interested now in taking spiritual steps and having spiritual understandings and things like that, you know, you may be doing that against your family's wishes. You may be doing that in a way that your family, with their traditional, whatever the traditional is, whether it's Christian, Muslim, no matter what your family comes from, if you decide to do something different, you may be dealing with the challenges of being different, you know, the challenges of being ostracized, you know. And so what it feels like to be this black sheep is, you may feel as if you don't belong. You may feel as if overall you're treated differently. You know what I'm saying? So in our spiritual house, prayer is very important, and we're always taking turns saying prayer. But if you notice that you're not getting your turn to pray with and for the family, or anytime you get up to pray, you're hearing moans and groans, you're like, really? That's the kind of thing that makes people feel like they're the black sheep, you know, when they're being excluded, you know. And family is famous for, oh, well, I didn't think you'd be interested in anything like that, you know, or I didn't know that you wanted to attend this, you know, I didn't know if your new religion lets you do this, this, and this. You know, unfortunately, people will have their little comments and things of that nature. And so it can be very difficult feeling by yourself, especially in an area that's so important, like religion, like culture. When you feel as if you're being overly criticized, I mean, even to the point almost bullied. The family, you know, you're made to feel different because of your actions and your beliefs. That's not a good place to be. That will make people stray away. And there are times where people, they will go along to get along. Isn't that horrible? You know, just so that they don't have to feel by themselves, just so they don't get excluded from the group text, they'll just pretend like, oh, I'm not really doing all that with my spirituality. You know, I'm coming back to church. They will pretend like everything's okay, or they will deny a part of them because they don't want to be ostracized. Or you'll find a time and place where people will be like, hey, I want to come and I want to be around, but, you know, I'm tired of always, you know, if the family, if my new religion and my new culture does not allow for drinking and my family drinks like a fish, I am going to feel some sort of way. I'm going to naturally kind of back out and, you know, not be as present, not be as, because I always feel left out. So, like, you're only getting half of the joke. And so I wanted to talk about this, and I'm very open to hearing how people deal with the feeling of not belonging. How do you feel with the idea that you may be treated differently because of your beliefs? And I'm not just talking about coworkers, because I think we all get it from coworkers. You know, the majority of the United States is Christian. And so that means the majority of our coworkers and the people that we spend time around tend to be Christian. And to the point almost where if you're not, it can be confusing. So I'm not necessarily talking about coworkers, because coworkers kind of come in and they can be and do whatever they want. They don't tend to have that high of expectation for you. But your family, not only does your family have this high expectation, they don't mind telling you about their expectation. They don't mind trying to push their thoughts and values on you. And we have to get to the point where we can start to get more comfortable no matter what they're doing. We have to get comfortable in ourselves to the point where, you know, you really don't focus on what they're doing, okay? But it's a process, family. One thing about Mama 7, I'm not going to joke with you. I'm not going to I'm going to be very transparent with you. It's not easy. I think everybody wants to belong. And I think everybody wants to be liked. And when you start to feel that you're not, it can really bother you. And especially if this happened as a child. When you are a child and you are feeling like you're always picked on or not welcomed or always have to hear something sarcastic from Auntie so-and-so and stuff like that, you know, I really need you to understand that it can cause someone to push away from the family, you know, and there are people that will basically almost leave the family because they're not accepted for who they really are. So I want to go through what I was saying was, if you desire to share, if you've seen it done, if you've seen people do this, and you want to kind of highlight it, all you have to do is press 1, and that can let us know what you're doing, so that you'd like to share. So one thing I want to address, you know, because I want to talk about what you can do about it. If you yourself feel like the black sheep, like your family's not supporting you, like the people who you're closest to don't relate to you, like you don't have any supporters, or I want to go into what you could do about it. But I also want to talk directly to the families, and I want everybody kind of listen, you know, take a deep breath. It's okay. You know, you're not going to jail tonight, but I do want you to listen. I want you to be cautious with your words. I want you to be aware that what you say to people can truly negatively impact them. It can set them off their course of their life. It can delay them. You know, sometimes the loop around will be, you know, a year or two, you know, because of the way someone said something. You know, I'm going to take it up a notch, especially people that know that they carry a spiritual destiny. People like myself that would consider themselves a spiritual leader. You have to be very aware that your words can be harmful and that you have to be accountable and responsible for your words, period. It's so very important, family, so important. Let me tell you, words that are said sometimes, especially in our community, will joke. We joke, we play too much, you know. We're saying this little thing and that little thing, and because we add a ha-ha at the end of it, we want people to take it as a joke when it's not funny. Just because you say ha-ha at the end doesn't mean that it's funny, doesn't mean it's a joke. Words and things are said in those moments that can be so damaging. Sarcasm, family, is horrible. Cut it out. You know, this is where that whole precision of language really, really kicks in. You have to be precise in what you say because there are people, no matter who you are, that are literally hanging on to each word that you say. So pay attention to what you're saying, the intention in which you're saying it, because it can really make a difference. I know when I'm speaking to people, and like especially when I'm doing readings, it can get rough. Readings can get rough, family. And I will sit here and say, hey, allow me to say this to you gently. You know, this is me trying to brace you for what Spirit is about to say. You know, this is me letting you know I want you to receive this in the best of light. In the best of light. And so as we're going through and we're trying to get this taken care of, it's so important that we are not fostering, encouraging black sheep behavior. I don't ever want us to get to the point where we are making people feel excluded. Now, who is people? People can be anybody. You have a group. And if there's people that don't necessarily go in round and round the circle, you know, people that don't fit in with the group, that's who I'm talking about. You know, at A Wonderful Approach, we take extra steps to make sure that there's space left for men and that there's space left for our millennials, our young adults, you know. And the reason why I always say that and I always do that is because these two populations need the support. They don't need the sarcasm. They don't need the exclusion. They need us to wrap ourselves around them. They need to know that this is where there is love for them, there's comfort for them. They don't have to go all around the world to get what is right here for them. That is wonderful. Feeling like a black sheep is not. So we have to make sure that we're doing our part, that we're not encouraging cliques and that we're not using or misusing our words, okay? Very important. All right. And then what I want people that do feel like the black sheep, it could be of their personal families or, you know, just any organization, any group. If you feel like that, I need to tell you, please listen to me. Hurt people, okay? So I like to use myself as an example. So as I'm going on this life, this journey, and I'm attempting to be this healer, and I'm attempting to be this beacon of light, when I speak with people, I'm not speaking to you from a place of hurt. I have worked very, very hard to heal myself, my generation, and I'm not done, but I'm pretty far along in my journey. And so when I'm speaking to you, it's not coming from a place of hurt. Therefore, I can say things to people that if someone else would have said, they would have been so offended, I can't believe you said that. I have the ability to speak to people because I'm not a hurt person. And so with hurt people, they can only put out what they have in. So what they're putting out is hurt feelings. And so we have a cycle of hurt being done. When you're working with a healer and someone who is healing from a place of love and compassion and kindness, that's what you're going to feel. Even if the words themselves may be difficult to hear, you'll be hearing them not just with your ear, but with your spiritual ear and with your spiritual feelings. And you'll be hearing and feeling the intention behind it. Okay? So if you are receiving something and it's painful, and I'd ask you to check if the person you're receiving this from, if they've done their healing work. Because chances are they haven't. I'm also going to ask this very person who you're sitting there and you're receiving this hurt from, this is going to be interesting. I'm going to ask you to apply some empathy to that. I'm going to ask you to think about their personal pains that they have possibly experienced in their life that's making them that way. I'm going to ask you to truly consider the things that they may have gone through and the fact that they may not be in a wonderful approach. They may not have had the blessing of starting a spiritual journey. They may not have the support groups that you have. And so understanding, you know, that this person is possibly, you know, being negative or hurting your feelings or whatever, understand they may not be as far along in their journey as you are, okay? And then, you know, last thing I really want you to consider when working with difficult people, when working with people that, you know, are having ill intentions towards you, I'm going to ask you to see this as an opportunity to practice your forgiveness muscle, okay? Forgiveness is a muscle. If you don't do it, if you don't use it, you're not going to have it, period. You must practice forgiveness. You must be in the habit, create the habit of forgiving people. It's an incredible habit. I just fell in love, if you were listening last week, to Psalms 51, verse 10, starting there. And in this prayer is a prayer of David that sends up to God. And the prayer says, create in me, O Lord, a clean heart. And basically in this prayer, David is begging God for his forgiveness. Letting him know, look, if you forgive me, if you work with me, if you don't leave me, just don't leave me. I promise to always sing your praises. I promise to always you know, build with you, be positive, and I promise to be and do all those things. Please, God, just don't leave me. And so, and ever since, you know, I reviewed that, Sister Faith brought that up in the Faith Walk, I've been possessed by it. I'm like, man, how many of us practice our forgiveness? How many of us work, ask God for forgiveness for ourselves? And you don't have to have a long rap sheet, and you don't have to have the situations that most people think you have. No, no. Just practice the forgiveness piece. So remembering, you know, in this idea of black sheep, I want you to understand that you may have to apply a little extra layer of forgiveness onto your very family members so that they know and you know that, hey, what you're doing, what you're saying, even though it's making me feel some sort of way, I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm going to assume you don't know what to do with me. And chances are they don't. All right. So when you're feeling this way, and let me tell you another reason why we have to talk about this. We have to talk about this feeling of the black sheep is because, you know, depression is real, my friends. Anxiety is real. We're moving into holiday season where chances are we will see our family now more in the next, 3 months than we may have seen them all year. And so you may be put in a position where you have to directly confront these issues, how you feel, how you got here. And so now's a good time to start pulling on this energy and think about, okay, and recognize, I do feel like this, period. I feel like this. Now what? Okay? So for once you feel, once you can acknowledge, I am the black sheep of my family, whether it's for religious reasons, cultural reasons, is because you're a school teacher and the rest of your family are attorneys. You know, no matter what you are, no matter who you are, you know, you're the only one in your family who may be part of the LGBTQI community. You may be the only one in your family who may be not married, you know. You may be the only one in your family who doesn't have kids, whatever. If anything that makes you feel like you are being excluded, this might be for you, okay? So what can you do about it? Because we know right now that you can't force other people to change. This is not about other people. This is about you. All right, so number one, you can choose your family. You can choose to spend time with your quote-unquote chosen family, all right? A wonderful approach. This is your chosen family, okay? We weren't born here together, but we're together because we love each other, because we care for each other. You know, we've made a decision, hey, we want to be working and building on our relationship with God. Let's do that together. So, number one, first thing you can do is rely on your chosen family. Don't feel as if you have to continue being around this one group that's already kind of let you know, yeah, we're not really digging you. Find somebody else to dig. Find somebody else to enjoy. Okay? All right. Number two, this is important. Set up some rules, some ground rules. Set up some ways in which people are going to interact with you in ways that they are not. All right? I would not consider myself a black sheep. But my mother converted to Islam. I saw my mother's siblings and cousins treat her differently. because she wore her hair wrapped, and because she changed her name, and she stopped eating meat and decided to become a vegetarian. She made all these changes, and there were times where, like with my grandmother, I could see my grandmother was like, I don't understand what you're doing, but if you like it, I love it. You know, she didn't get it, but she was not negative about it. Cousins? Oh, those cousins gave my mother a hard time. I mean, I and as the oldest child, I could see some of the sarcasm and some of the jokes that weren't so funny. I could see some of the looks and moans and groans and all this other stuff. I saw that. And I was like, I didn't understand why, because I grew up in this. So my mother never pulled back. She never pulled back. She and her very different self stayed right there. She changed her wardrobe, changed her food, and she set up some ground rules. You know, some of the ground rules, okay, you're going to call me Khadija. It's a name that I've chosen. It's not a name that you may be familiar with, but that's my new name. That's what you're going to call me. That's the only thing I'm going to answer to. You'll take it or leave it. Ground rules. Ground rules, my children don't eat meat. You're not going to feed them meat. You're not going to speak poorly about being vegetarian. This is just who I have decided they're going to be until they're old enough to make a decision for themselves. And so I knew that she had rules, and I knew that sometimes she would have to reiterate some of the rules, and sometimes she did it nicely, and sometimes she did it not so nicely, but she did it. She had boundaries. And so growing up, I saw that, and I was like, oh, okay, if someone's doing something you don't like, you just say, I don't like it, stop. And if they don't stop, move away from them. And as a child, when I saw her do it, I saw the discomfort too. I saw her discomfort. But for whatever reason, these were her rules, and she didn't let anybody change them. So when you're feeling like this black sheep, when you're feeling excluded, that doesn't mean pull yourself back from your family. Some of this might be in your head. But it doesn't hurt to, one, start spending time and relying on people who you have chosen to be around. Number two, set some ground rules. You should have some non-negotiables about who you are. Whatever reason that they have decided, oh, you're different, you're going to wear this hat called different, and that, whatever. Set you up some ground rules. There should be things that are non-negotiable for you. Number three, take the chance. And this, I like this one. Take the chance every now and again to extend that olive branch. And I do this. I'm good for this. Every now and again, I will make that phone call. I will do something that I am generally uncomfortable doing. I will show up, and you didn't think I was going to show up. I will extend myself, and I'll be sitting there, you know, maybe doing it through clenched teeth, whatever, but I'm there, and I'm here to be helpful. How can I be helpful? You know, whatever. Every now and again, take a chance that someone could surprise you, okay? Once people see that you're serious, right, for whatever reason they thought that they were going to make you a black sheep, if you sit there and be like, I'm going to stand on this. This is my principles. I'm a principal sheep. No matter what color you can call me, I'm a principal sheep. I'm not going anywhere. These are my values. Deal with them or deal with me. every now and again, you'll find that people will accept you. They'll accept it. They'll say, no, you've been working at this thing. You've been serious about this for a year. It's got to be something to it. Or people will look at you and be like, you know, okay, I'll bite. What is this? What are you doing? Or they'll see, man, look at all the blessings that are coming into this person's life. They've got to be working on something great. Let me see what it is. Whatever. Every now and again, it doesn't hurt to extend an olive branch and find out where people are with you, because people change. And so just like you change, something about you caused you to be different, the same thing can happen to people in your family. And I've heard many times where people would be like, yeah, you know, they would tease me because I'm up here, you know, wrapping my hair, wearing my long skirts, wearing my white, whatever you're doing. And they tease me, and now they're calling me, asking me, yeah, what's that stone you got around your neck? Yeah, what's that stuff you keep burning, sage, whatever? So every now and again, send an olive branch. All right, my black sheep people, let me tell you, be yourself. Be yourself. Let me tell you, we as a species, let's make it bigger than even that, okay? We as a species, we will cut ourselves apart. Oh, well, I can't talk to them because they're light skin, I'm brown skin. Well, I can't talk to this one because they make $20,000 a year and I make $22,000 a year. Thank you. I can't talk to that one because they haven't read and memorized the 10-point platform of the people. Yeah. I can't talk to them over there because they think they're better than everybody because they don't live in the hood. I mean, we, the people, have 30 different ways of dividing up this same pie. By the time you get your little sliver of pie, you can't even taste nothing because you've divided this pie 1,000 times. We're one people. We're one people, okay? I say all that to say there will come a time very soon where all the divisions that we've created in our community and in our mind are going to end up being our shortfall. We really don't have time for all that. There's going to come a time where it's only going to be the people. It's only going to be us people and them people. You can divide it 1,000 ways. That is coming down to that. Us people, them people. Be yourself in the middle of all of that. Be yourself. You don't have to squeeze into one box or another. I'm telling you, these boxes are too small to hold us. Oh, are you this kind of person? I'm a person. I'm an alive person. That's the kind of person I am, you know. And I allow people, whatever box you want to put me in, that's on you. I'm not putting myself in any box. I'm too big for that. Oh, well, you wouldn't be a black sheep if only you, AA, you're the one saying I'm a black sheep. I'm a person, okay? I'm a spirit having a human experience. I don't have to make myself small to fit in all of these boxes that they have. It's too many. So I'm just going to be myself, all right? I have been in situations where I was told, oh, you are too Muslim. And I'm like, I wouldn't call myself a Muslim. I've had places where you're not Muslim enough. I've been in places, oh, you too Ifa. Then, oh, you're not Ifa enough. That's okay. And then people are like, oh, you're a Christian. I thought you were an evangelist. Evangelist 7. You know, and I'm like, okay. Then they're like, oh, you don't know the Lord. I'm like, oh, my God. So I can't be in any box. This is why I label myself a spiritualist, because I want people to understand I can't be in any of the little boxes. Now, if you fit in there securely, then that's great for you. But I don't. And that has caused me in a lot of different circles to, they let me visit. And you know, you'll, especially for everybody that's making plans to come to November, the November event, you're going to see some of the boxes. I have a full weekend planned. I'm so excited. And guess what? You will get to visit all the boxes, and you'll get to make a choice. Hey, this is a good box for me, or these two boxes work for me, or however you want to do it. And then you'll see, oh, I can see now why the Mama 7 really doesn't fit into any one of these boxes, because I have to be myself. So as you are being yourself unapologetically, you know, it's okay to do that and then to share with people who you are. It's great. All right, and the last thing that I need all my people, all my black sheep out there, anyone that's feeling it, okay, feeling the separation, listen to your cheerleaders. I thought that was fantastic. Yes. Listen to those people that care about you, that love you. Everybody got haters. Mickey Mouse has haters. Santa Claus has a SpongeBob. Okay, so y'all know that I love comedy. I do. I like good comedy. I like bad comedy. I like cartoons. Anything where there is a giggle involved, chances are I've been there. And when SpongeBob first came out, that thing made me laugh. I adored it. And you would not believe that people would hate on SpongeBob. And I was like, how is that possible? This is a sponge. It's a sponge that wears a tie and khakis. What is there to hate? What is your problem? And so if SpongeBob had listened to all the haters who, oh, he's too square, he's too this, then the show probably wouldn't have made it off of the basics, because it's just too much. Listen to your cheerleaders. I guarantee you, everyone has both. You got your naysayers, your little negative Nancys, and, you know, okay, they always want to bring up the reasons why this won't work. I remember arguing, and I said, look, you're talking about reasons why this won't work. I'm talking about the one reason why it will. There may be 50 million naysayers. I want you to focus on that one cheerleader. And I know life, life be life, right? I promise you, if you have a million haters, that one cheerleader you got goes hard in the paint about you. I'm telling you, pay attention now. Pay attention. However many naysayers you got, take it, multiply it by the sneaky people that are, they act like friends, but they not. Take that number and divide it by the number. Those are the download friends. Those are the download friends. And then divide that by the number of jealous hearts and jealous stares and people who get bad, they can't be you, da-da-da-da-da. All that. Take that number, and all God is going to do is wring it out and pour it into one cheerleader. And you may only have one cheerleader in your life, but they're going to go hard in the paint about you. This person is going to go ballistic about you. You're going to feel the importance and the love and everything like that. So listen to your cheerleaders. And listening to your cheerleaders might mean turning a deaf ear to the naysayers. It's okay. Right? Do it. Allow yourself to be cheered on. Allow yourself to be honored. Allow yourself to be thought of kindly. Allow yourself to have that you go girl moment. You know what I'm saying? Do it. Do it for yourself. Okay? So those are just some ideas and some plans. How to defeat, how do you minimize, how do you, you know, totally take out that energy that being the black sheep creates? We're going to deflate that energy. I mean, I can look at a wonderful approach and I can see, yeah, you know, I can see the little jealousies that are surrounding us. You know, there are people that don't know how we can consistently be blessed the way we are. There are people that are like, man, how you still keeping up with all your devotions, your fasting, and your wines, and man. And when people see something that they can't do, a lot of times they try to create confusion so that other people can't see it either. Just understand God is working on them, okay? And so when I said look at them as an opportunity to practice your forgiveness, I meant that. So I was just sharing, speaking to a sister who's going through a lot of pain in her life. And she's like, Mama said, I'm just so mad. You know, I want this other person to feel what I'm feeling. Why can't you do that? You know, why is that, how did that get to be fair where I feel bad and this other person doesn't? You know, they did me wrong. I feel excluded. I feel like everybody's supporting them, not me. And I shared, I said, you know, this sounds like a great opportunity. And she is probably 2 inches away from hanging up on me. And I said, this is a great opportunity for you to practice your forgiveness. We know forgiveness works like a bank. The more you get, the more you put in, the more you forgive others and their transgressions, the more your own are forgiven, right? So as I'm going through and I'm sharing with her, look, it hurts, but you got to keep pushing and you have to work on your forgiveness piece. At that time, it felt impossible. She said, I just can't. And I just want to share, because she's not by herself. She's not by herself. I want to share with the family. There are times when this forgiveness piece seems unbearable. You know, when your heart is breaking, like cracking and breaking, and I come and I'm like, hey, what about our forgiveness piece? I know you don't want to hear it. I know you don't, but we got to talk about it. When you're sitting there and, you know, you're feeling people who you grew up with, people who you have fed, people who you have, you know, we used to get beat together. My mom didn't beat one person. My mom would line us up and everybody would get beat, even neighborhood kids. You know, it was like whoever got caught at that moment, because I was an angel. I never did nothing wrong. But my beep and beep sister, I got so many beatings behind her, and I'm like, wait a minute, this girl is bad. So all of this is that opportunity to work on our forgiveness. Let me tell you something. So when you're working on your forgiveness piece, I need you to understand, just like the prayer, Psalm 51, verse 10, David had done something, King David had done something just inexcusable in his own eyes, right? So he was going to God and he was asking for forgiveness. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't have to be that big a deal for you to go to God with forgiveness. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be like, oh, well, I didn't do this, so I shouldn't have to do any forgiveness. Or, you know, they treated me like this, I shouldn't have to forgive them. Let me tell you, you don't know how big or little something is in God's eyes. You don't know when God is going to be sitting here judging you in your life. So this black sheep feeling could be only an opportunity to get you to work on your forgiveness, to get you to make sure that you're not out there receiving the negativity and giving it right back. No. This is your opportunity to be God-like and to really show people, hey, I'm trying to tell you, this is the way to make it right. So I want you, you know, even though it doesn't feel good, no, it doesn't feel good, I want you to take an opportunity to really be the bigger person in the middle of this, okay? So moving into the prayer portion of the program, I want to have a special shout out to one of our little ones, Habiba, who and her mother, Mother Maria, who recently lost a family member. They are her, Mama Maria's father, Habiba's grandfather. I had an opportunity to meet him, full of energy, sweet, polite, respectful. He was a very kind man and a staple in the Charleston area. And so I want to just offer kind words for healing, patience, breathing. You know, when you're dealing with loss, this is day by day breathing. Breathe, learning how to rest, eat, take basic care of yourself. But I just wanted to shout them out in the middle of their adjusting, right? This is holiday season. We're moving into an entire season of family gatherings, work gatherings, spending time with people, potlucking it up, you know, just in general. The whole guise is, I think, to have fun. But for a lot of people, this season is not fun. For people that are dealing with loss, for people that are dealing with anger, people that are separated from their families, or in this case, losing a family member, understand that this time of the year can be very, very challenging. And so all of my light bearers, all of my people, where it's your job to share light. It's your job to bring hope to a situation, to shed some kindness. All of my light bearers, understand this is our season. This is what we're doing. And yes, it's difficult. Yes, it can be tiring. Yes, yes, yes. But understand that, you know, those lighthouse, and guess what? It can be uncomfortable. It can be all kinds of things. Those lighthouses are not sitting on the beach all comfortable. The lighthouses tend to be over off a cliff where the jagged edges are. You know, understand those lighthouses are dealing sometimes with some dangerous conditions. And so as we get ready for this holiday season, let's spend some time thinking about how we can shine our light in such a positive manner. Let's think about how we can help others with seeing the light. You know, sometimes you have to help tilt people's perspective so they can see the light and see the positive in there. And so really let's understand that as heavy as this time of year is, we also need to be caring for ourselves. So please let's get in a habit of networking with one another so that we can spend time learning what we need to be working on and how do we keep that positivity going, okay? Moving into the prayer portion. Father, Mother God, we come before you whole. We come before you happy. We come before you fulfilled. We come before you presenting all of these desires, knowing that, God, you can make each and every one of them appear. We come before you thankful for our health, which is our wealth, our physical health, our mental health, our emotional health. God, we come before you hoping to be strengthened from the inside out. God, we hope that be strengthened with our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. God, I want to send a special prayer to those whose emotions are so challenged. Please allow the healing light to reach the heart, to reach the head, to reach all those emotions so that they can begin their healing process. God, for everyone walking heavy into these holidays, please allow them to know that your love is always here for them and that they can build and grow from there. God, I ask all these things because I know it's possible. I know you can do it. I am thankful for the work that you do. Amen.